Greetings and salutations, everybody. Once again, Travis and I are back together, hanging out, doing the things. Hopefully it looks good. I'm literally staring at just the picture of the gingerbread man running away. I figured that would be an adequate opening for this stream. But Two Trolls is brew back. Wait, no. Two back trolls brewing? No. Two Trolls and a Brew. We're back! Episode 143. There may have been a hiatus.
Maybe just a little.
A little one. Subtitle Season 2, Episode 1. So, yeah. Hopefully we're back. I don't know what our new schedule is going to be like. We've been talking about it a little bit here and there. Even though Travis's life has kind of once again settled into a reasonable routine, it is still a busy one. And of course, streaming like crazy myself, it gets a little difficult to work in extra projects here and there, but we both want to make an effort to get this up and running again, I think. So we're going to give it a go. Travis came over, we hung out a little bit this week, and you want to talk about that for just a little bit, Travis?
I went over there, check out your bus, and then...
We'll talk about that too, yeah. I meant more about the fact that we got you set up to be able to record.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was getting to that. There's a process of events.
Those are all fair statements. Carry on.
Yeah. So I went over there, saw your bus, and then you showed me how to record videos, and... Soon I will probably be making magic content, and then I'll be posting it on my own.
Yep.
On my own YouTube.
Yeah. So pretty soon Travis will have whatever
the
his YouTube
jankiest of decks.
So we'll be able to add that to show notes and whatnot. But one of the problems that we were having, kind of towards the end, and I don't think it's any surprise to anybody, especially not us, is that we kind of got into this place where Standard was at and where Modern was at, that neither one of us really was that excited about brewing at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we had like 4 episodes in a row where I was like, yeah, I'm still kind of like not playing Magic, except for drafting. And Travis is like, yeah, well, I'm selling my collection and running away back to Kansas. And it's like, huh, well, none of these things are... exciting for listeners.
I've already been in Kansas.
Yeah, you'd been in Kansas a little bit.
For like 6 months when I sold my collection.
Well, let's not get like factual and accurate. Let's just revise history however I want it to be to make it the story happen. So, long story short, we're semi-back. Hopefully we'll make some good content again. Hopefully we'll have some sweet brews pretty soon. And I'm going to continue to talk mostly about drafting and upcoming stuff. I'm watching the MPL, doing some of that. Some sweet combo decks are on the horizon, so... slash currently going on. And we have spoilers. We're always good to talk about spoilers and stuff like that, so... Let's start the show off with our troll cars. This is a throwback to the Season 1 episodes. Troll cards of the week, or the show.
So, for this week, my troll card would be Dragonstorm, and the reason for that is that's the deck that I'm playing in Legacy right now. So, for people who don't know, it costs 9 mana, and it's a sorcery that says, search your library for a dragon and put it into the battlefield, and then storm. So, I've been able to, on turn 1, with the perfect hand, kill my opponent. But, you know, that's the perfect hand. Normally I can get it going on turn 3 or 4, if there's no disruption. But
and that never happens in Legacy.
It does sometimes.
Never. Nobody ever has a Force of Will.
Well, we have some players who don't play the Force of Will decks because they don't care about countering spells. They just want to race. And sometimes they lose the race to dragons.
Yeah, I mean, I've been around long enough to remember the good old days where Dragonstorm, like, was winning Pro Tours with my boy, Bogarden Hellkite.
Yep, that card's not good anymore. I don't use the Bogarden Hellkite.
Not good enough?
Not good enough.
Man, that seems so harsh. Are you, like, making dragons have haste?
No. Doing 26 damage on a storm count of 3.
Okay, what are you doing?
So the first dragon that I get is Lapras, the one from M19.
Okay, that makes all. Whenever you make a dragon, you get more dragons, right?
Yeah. Whenever you get a non-token, you make a 5/5. All right. So the second dragon I get is Scourge of Valkis. So that one is whenever it enters or another dragon enters, the Scourge does damage equal to the number of dragons to target, or to any target I think you got ratted to. And then the third dragon I get is another Scourge. And so off of that second trigger, I put it on the stack so the Scourge will resolve second. So it does 6 damage. And then with the second Scourge that I get, I again put it on the stack so it'll resolve last. So each Scourge at that point will do 15 damage.
Seems like a lot of damage.
Yep.
Is that not 30-some damage?
So the first one deals 6 damage. And then the second one enters, it'll trigger twice, and the first dragon will also trigger twice, but at that point there will be 5 dragons in play, so I guess it's 20 damage, so altogether it's 26 damage with a storm count of 3.
Sounds okay.
Yeah. So the only dragons in there is Lapras and 4 Scourge dragons.
Okay, so how are you making, 9 mana?
I don't have to make 9 mana, I only have to make 4. So, there is a card from one of the commander sets, Mizzix Mastery. So for 4 mana, you target a card in the graveyard, or you can overload it for 8. It has to be an instant or sorcery. But you target that card, and then you can cast it for free.
Right.
So, turn one, ideally, I want to be able to play Rite of Flame, cast Faithless Looting, draw 2 cards, and hopefully discard a Dragonstorm, and then, cast another Rite of Flame into a 3 mana spell, and then get Mizzix Mastery, and then that's lethal.
Okay.
But you know
what
how
is
I
your
like to
what
play
do you
decks
feel, what do you feel like your success rate is?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Great.
But it's really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds a lot like you. One of the
Glass
last
cannon is my specialty.
Yeah, one of the last things that we played together in a tournament. I don't think I played. I think I was judging.
Mm-hmm.
You played. Was it Modern or was it Standard? I feel like it was Modern. And you played like the all in red.
Yeah,
Prowess deck. There we go, Prowess deck.
Yeah, it was blister burn, is what it was.
And I don't feel like your record was overly high that day either. But a lot of people was like, wow, like kind of taken aback by how fast it was and how little it took to like run.
Yeah, I went 2-2 with that deck, but I hadn't gotten any practice in with it, and I didn't know how to properly side. So I would attribute that to it. But, I mean, like you said, it was incredibly fast, and if they don't kill any of my one-drop creatures, then they lose.
Right. And the reason why I didn't play is I let a friend of the show, actually, Riley, if you listen back to a lot of Season 1 episodes, Riley was often yelled at for trying to remember a name of a card. But, so Riley borrowed my deck, which was a hybridization of the Urza deck that's floating around right now with the Thopter Sword combo and Cheerios. Like, I've hybridized the two of them together. I'm going to make it a little bit more Urza-y. I got to put Snowlands in it, and I want to add the snow globe that draws you a land when it comes into play for snow mana.
I like that card.
Yeah, I do too. But it's working really, really well, actually, because you have multiple angles of attack. And in my opinion, the way to make the Urza deck just sing is to be able to just have these multiple angles. So it's got, like, size main deck. It has, obviously, the various white guys that say when you play an equipment, you get to draw a card. Of course, you have all these equipments to kind of draw through. Three Urzas. I've been playing main tech Teferis, so I have a way to cast Reshape as an instant to like start making the combo happen. And of course, Teferi makes counter spells real hard. So, I really like the deck. I want to tweak it a little bit more. But Modern, where I'm currently at, is like, we basically have six people playing the same six decks. We have like multiple people playing Tron, stuff like that. So the metagame is pretty solid. Of course, we always have the one person playing Boggles. We always, you know what I mean? Like, we always have like these set handful of people playing the same decks. And that kind of locks you into a certain metagame and a certain mindset that I'm trying to avoid. So, because I don't want to make metagame decisions like, oh, well, I know so-and-so is going to be here, so I better make sure I can handle X deck, you know, deck that you may not necessarily do against in the tournament. So, yeah, it's a little bit weird and a little bit wonky. I'll try to get a deck list up. If not this show, next show, Travis, you think you can get me a Dragonstorm deck list?
Yeah.
Sweet. We'll try to get these up. We'll try getting deck lists back up on the website. It's been a little while. We're a little rusty. We're going to have to knock some dust off the podcasting and actually get work done. But we'll see if we can make commitments to actually do things. My troll card is going to be Scholar of the Ages. It's like 7 mana for a 3/3. But when it enters the battlefield, you get to return 2 instants and or sorceries from the graveyard to your hand. All those cards, Mnemonic Wall, this card, Archivist, I think is what it's called. All those things that return instants and sorceries back from my graveyard to my hand have always been a card that I really have enjoyed. So I'm going to kind of transition to my draft deck this week. And I realize it's probably a little bright considering we're just sitting on a white screen, or a black screen, now we're on a white screen. But this deck list here is a pretty sweet one. This is what we drafted. Really, it was a lot of standalone. It says 41 cards. I think I have a sideboard card in this list.
I don't see anything.
You won't. You won't see anything unless you're watching over on the YouTube.
Now I have to do stuff.
I know. Or the Twitch page.
now I have to do stuff.
I know, it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitch, and so it's been so long since we've done this last, Google has changed the way that we have to record, have to do this now. So we have to use Discord, and that means I can't see what's going on as well as I used to. The chat is currently not set up. I'll have to fiddle with it some more over the next couple of weeks. So to monitor Twitch or the show notes, I literally have to use my cell phone to see what's going on. So there's a lot of like hitting the cell phone. I might have to set up my old tablet to monitor the Twitch. But we're going to muddle through. I was so excited after talking with Travis this week about getting the show back together and trying to get back on a rotation that I wanted to do it. I wanted to get it going, so... When there was an opportunity, a brief window here at 10:50 p.m. on a Saturday night, I'm like,
it's
hey.
9:50.
You're correct. I said 10:50 because I was thinking it's basically 10. I was like, let's make this podcast happen. And Travis is like, all right, I'm right there. So, pardon us. But anyway, here's a Scholar of Ages. And the card that really kind of works, makes this card go... woo-woo for me, is this Captivating Gyre. So, Captivating Gyre is 6 mana sorcery. Return up to 3 target creatures to their owner's hand. So, basically, you set up a situation where you can Scholar, get 2 good things, return something and a Captivating Gyre, put 2 of their guys back in their hand, pick up your Scholar of Ages, and repeat for... 6 mana, then 7 mana, you know. It's not great, but it was a lot of fun at draft. The big card for me this draft was Moldervine Reclamation. I don't know if you played with this card. This seems like the traviest of cards of all time. Green, black, and 3 mana for an enchantment. Whenever a creature you control dies, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
Okay.
So it was really fun at breaking Stalemates. You know, because my creatures die, I still get value. It did a lot of good work for me. Other cards that I've been really impressed with is like Tombbound Lich. Black and a blue and a generic for a Death Touch Lifelinker. Enters the battlefield or deals combat damage, you get to loot. So draw and then discard. So it did a lot of work for me. Scavenger of Rune. I would have liked to add 2 because then I could have just like set up this little infinite loop of them rescuing each other and drawing a bunch of cards and doing stuff, but alas, that did not work out. But overall, I think this was the best deck that we happen to have at the table this day. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I have an extra sideboard card in here somewhere. I just don't remember what it was. We had 3 removal spells. We had an Overcome, which was awesome, and the Captivating Gyre. So basically, I was just able to like weed down my opponent's field, put stuff back in their hand, overcome, attack for a bunch, and then play a Scholar of the Ages, do it again the next turn. I think I would have easily went undefeated, except for the Curse of the Lands once again struck. Game 2, match 1, I kept Evolving Wilds and a Swamp, I believe. A couple of 2-drops and a couple of 1-drops. Played a couple of 2-drops, played a couple of 1-drops. And I did not see a 3rd land until my opponent was casting their 6-drops. Which is a little difficult to come back from in this kind of format. So I lost that game. And then game 3... I kept a super aggressive hand of Vampire of the Dire Moon, Greenwood Sentinel, Barkhide Troll, and a Fenlurker and lands, and I basically played everything out. Not really on curve per se, but pretty quickly. And proceeded to draw every one of my blue cards. But not an island. And I was like, ah. So, yeah. So I lost that match. Proceeded to win the rest of the rounds pretty handily. Just so much value. couldn't get a pest. I did get a pester mite in that third game, so eventually I could have potentially had a blue mana, but my pester mites immediately got shocked. So yeah, it was pretty ridiculous not having the third color mana. But you know what? When I was thinking about it, I was like, Spectral Sailor is a good enough card to splash. Risen Reef is a reasonable card to splash. Tombout Lich might be the most powerful card in my deck. And, you know, if we get to 7 mana, we could loop the Skull of Ages Captivating Jar. Like, it seemed like it was fine. But, I probably could have imagined some other top end, but I didn't pull the trigger on it. But,
so, can we talk about for a second how Yarik's Fenlurker is amazing in Standard?
The Fenlurker is an amazing card in general. I think it's going to see a lot of play in some other places at some point as well.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Fenlurker is black-black for a 1-1 horror, which is important for a couple of things in the modern world. But when it enters the battlefield, each opponent exiles a card from their hand. Each opponent. So multiplayers, everybody loses one, etc. And then a black and two generic, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So
yeah, I want to focus on the exile part.
Sure, it's a good
they
part.
Don't get it back.
It's pretty hard. I mean, you can get it back with some work if you happen to have the right cards in your deck. But no one's running those cards in modern. And
right.
Those cards don't exist in Standard, so...
Yep.
Yeah, it's a real card. It's a great card to copy. It's a great card to bounce back to your hand and replay. Like, it's just a solid card. A few drafts ago, I had the... There's a portal, like a blue portal for... I think it's a generic and... Two generic and a blue, maybe, and then a blue and tap it. And as a sorcery speed, you can... Return a creature you control to its owner's hand. I had two of the Fenlurkers and the portal, and I was just like making people exile multiple cards a turn. You know, sometimes two cards a turn is a lot to battle against when you're against another control deck where they're turning around and like swinging at you and stuff. So yeah, it's a real Magic the Gathering card, that's for sure. It goes right up there with the everybody sacrifices a creature or discards a card guy?
Yep.
Yeah. In fact, I was watching the Arena Boys, and I think they're even running a playset in their black control list of the Fenlurker.
What do you mean by the Arena Boys?
So the Arena Boys is a YouTube show put out by Channel Fireball with... with some guys in it, and they do a really fun show, and they play a deck every week. Maybe something that we will try someday in the future, if you're able to get your recording stuff running consistently.
Yeah.
So, well, you'll do the playing, and I'll be the voice in your ear whispering how bad you are.
Oh, that's fine, because then I can just ignore you like I am now.
Like always.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, so... Nothing will change.
So let's look at some spoilers really fast here. For Throne of Aladrin, dun dun dun. Is there anything? Have you been looking at them at all?
Yeah, I have looked at some. The Throne of Eldraine.
Eldraine?
Yeah.
I keep saying Aladrin.
Yeah. Well, you say a lot of things.
I think it's the Dungeons and Dragons thing. These look like they're all in French.
I actually have seen most of them, and I do enjoy them so far.
Yeah, I think the flavor's been on point. I don't remember what it was that we were talking about, but you sent me a spoiler a couple of days ago, before we even hung out and started talking about stuff. And you were like, this is going to be crazy.
Man, what did I send you then? Because I don't remember.
Send me the Gilded Goose.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I agree with you, I think it's going to be crazy.
Yeah,
it looks like that's the only one.
It's almost better bird.
Well, I think Let me see if I can actually pull it up here.
So,
I don't see it at all.
For a single green, you get a flying 0/2. When it enters, you make a food. You can tap a colorless and a green in it and make a food. And then you can tap it, a sack of food, add any color.
I haven't seen any of these food tokens before today. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference on these food tokens yet?
I like the pie one.
I was thinking that as well. But this boar head looks delicious.
Yeah.
Can we just talk 1 second about these bananas on this other one with the papayas and the bananas? What kind of banana goes curlicue?
The kind that are imaginary.
I guess so. Oh man. But yeah, the there it is. The Gilded Goose is I think it's gonna be really strong actually. I know a lot of people are saying that they think it might even be better than Birds of Paradise. I feel like I disagree.
Yeah.
Because it revolves around having a food token in this case to be able to tap for mana. But I do like the idea that it's a 0/2 as opposed to just a 0/1.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I enjoy that it's a 0/2, but if we're looking at modern where the bird is, then it doesn't matter because they're both dying to bolt and push.
Sure. But the difference is if they bolt the bird on turn one, you still get left with a food at least.
Yeah.
So.
Or if they bolt the goose.
Right. The other nice thing about this is it gives you a mana sink at turn one.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you don't have a play on turn two, you can still make a food.
Yeah, you still get to gain three.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like things like this. I also like these artifact tokens that enter the battlefield. I really like things that say all your artifacts gain tap and do this other thing instead.
Mm-hmm.
So any effect that lets you get free artifacts, I think is really cool. And then of course you have like awesome things. I think it's the black spell. It's like bake into a pie or something like that. Destroy a creature and you get a food token.
Yeah.
This is not the website I usually use for spoilers, but it was the first thing that came up, so I do not know what's going on.
Which one are you on?
Magic spoiler.
Oh, just go to Salvation.
Yeah, I think I will. Screw it.
But yeah. Bake into a pie. 4 mana instant, destroy a creature, make a food.
Yeah. There we go. We'll just go to Salvation. Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
So all I right. really enjoy the adventure cards.
Okay, like that's what they're calling the split cards, right?
Yeah. The new mechanic is the adventure.
Okay.
So If you cast the adventure, then it exiles the card, but then later you can cast the creature from the adventure.
Correct.
However, if you exile the adventure from, like if it just gets exiled and you don't cast the adventure, then it doesn't count.
Correct.
And you can't cast that creature from exile.
Yeah, it's like worded kind of weird. I have not heard that was called adventure, but that makes sense. I guess it says instant adventure right here.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the ability of exiling itself, and then you have the ability to cast another thing later.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to kind of give you some opportunity to do stuff. It's better than like, is it Rebound? I think is what the other name is. Like, it's better than Rebound because it doesn't make you. It doesn't cost like 1,000 mana extra because you're going to cast it a second time for free.
Right.
And often the second half is significantly cheaper. I don't know if I've seen any of them that the second half is not cheaper than the first half.
Yeah.
The
green one. Right?
Oh, I guess the followed footsteps, like the giant, this beanstalker giant. I have not looked at all the green ones.
So the adventure is 3 mana to get a land and put it into play, and then the giant itself is 7 mana.
Right. I've not seen this one until just now, but most of them are like that I had seen previously were like this Faxon Intruder, where it's 7 mana to make 3 bears, and then for 1 mana you make the 1/2. And the beast, Lovestruck Beast.
Yeah, I just saw the Lovestruck Beast.
Yeah, the Lovestruck Beast I think is a really good one. You get to make a 1/1 for 1, and then for 3 mana you get to make a 5/5 that can't do anything unless you have a 1/1.
Right.
Yeah, like I love the flavor. The flavor of this set is on point. Well, I don't know how fun it's going to be, but it feels really good so far.
Look, I know how fun Modern is going to be with Piper of the Swarm. And that's all I...
Yeah, I like Piper of the Swarm too. Beef in chat says it's like cards that have effects while cycling. That is very true, actually. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm pretty on board so far. I think my favorite card is Wrinkle, the Master of Pranks. Like, this is a card that's right up my alley. Black and 2 for a legendary creature, Fairy Rogue. It has flying and haste and is a 3/3. When it deals combat damage to a player, choose any number of the following 3 effects. And it's reciprocal. So each player discards a card, each player loses a life and draw a card, each player sacrifices a creature. Like, to me, this is the most fun thing. If there's ever a card that makes me even remotely interested in playing a commander, it is this card. And yes. I do not like commander. But this is the one card that I would think about. It does everything I want it to do. It comes down on the battlefield for a reasonable price. It has an immediate effect on the battlefield. And it hits everybody at the table. It's like, all right, everybody, let's all just lose a life and draw a card.
Yeah, you know? It's a great group game commander.
Exactly.
I saw this and I was like, I want this foil.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye out for this. The pre-release version of this is probably gonna be really sweet.
Oh yeah.
They're kind of showing some cards where the border is a little bit softer, like the goose a little bit earlier. I don't know if they're gonna do that on all of like a certain kind of card, but I think this would be a fun one to kind of go off the border a little bit. What is there another card that's kind of got your fancy up? Like I said, you talked about Piper the Swarm for a second, which is a really good one.
Yeah. I just want to play that with Pack Rat so much.
Well, Pack Rat or the current one that's in Standard.
Oh, yeah, the Colony?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we got my boy back. He's still black and green.
Oh, Garrick? Or Garrick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had some people actually talking about how happy they were that Garruk is back. And I'm just like, are you really that happy? Like, I don't know.
I just wish that he would have came back in Ravnica and just destroyed everything.
Just like went ape-ass everywhere?
Yeah, like he just comes in, he just has a big fight with Bolas, and then he takes over, like he kills Domri, and it's like, no, I'm in charge of the Gruul and Golgari.
I make the mega guild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Garrick is the guy who, like, Berserker Rage too deep. And if he didn't have the ability to, like, teleport away, he would just fight to the death.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I feel like he would be the guy who's like, no, I will get Bolas, and, like, goes in on Bolas super hard and just, like, maybe he gets really close to taking out Bolas by himself, and then Bolas is just, like, crunch because he wouldn't leave. I don't know. I'm kind of glad they didn't put him in that storyline.
Yeah.
This one, however, is kind of interesting. 6 mana plus 0 makes 2/2s. That when they die, he gets a... Every Garrick in play gets a 1/1 counter. 1/1 Lilitha counter. Which is kind of cool. Incentivizes you to maybe, in other formats, play more Garricks.
Yeah.
Negative three, just straight up kill a creature, draw a card. Like, that's really solid. And then you can make an emblem. The way that it's currently worded, you either have to populate or get some wolves killed to get it up to a six.
Yeah.
But if you can make him emblem, creatures get +3/+3 and trample, like overrun on an emblem seems very good. So, yeah, overall, strong card. Would not be opposed to seeing one of those appear, pick one, pack one, sitting down a draft, or, you know, opening one in my sealeds coming up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I just really want to play with him. He looks like what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, so far a lot of these things look really fun to me. I have not read this new Planeswalker Oko.
Mm-hmm. Oko looks so fun.
3 mana +2 makes a food token, +1 target artifact or creature loses all abilities and becomes a green elf creature.
Mm-hmm.
Power and toughness equals to 3/3. That seems crazy. And then 5, exchange control a target artifact or creature you control and target creature and opponent controls with power 3 or less. Aw, power 3 or less. No, I guess you can do some real weird things. That doesn't say until end of turn. This +1 does not say until end of turn.
Yep.
No way. Now I gotta keep track of that forever.
Yep.
Oh, rough. So rough. So rough. Oh, no. I'm ready to check out this set. Witch's Cottage looks really sweet. I hope that they're gonna do one for every color. I think that it's exactly the right kind of card. Are they seriously printing Command Tower in Standard?
Yeah, I think it's for Brawl.
Oh, that makes sense. For Brawl. Yeah, Brawl coming back is kind of interesting. Maybe I get all of my, that Black Legend love out of the way in Brawl. And I don't have to worry about it anyplace else.
See, and I think that's the only reason they're doing Historic is because Brawl is too small of a format.
Yeah, at the moment.
Yeah, so I think they kind of need an extra amount to play Brawl.
Well, I don't think we have not recorded a show since Historic has announced, I don't think, right?
Done a show since May.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they were talking about Historic since the or before then, so we can talk about Historic a little bit. I've been saying for a long time that I've been a big fan of Frontier. And I feel like they needed a format that was smaller but still going to grow. And I think this is a nod. Historic, I think, is that nod. So you'll probably see me shift pretty soon off of Frontier as my chosen format into Historic, just because I think it'll be that format that they're going to push. That's a little bit smaller and yet still has that fun and flexibility of like the old extended. I see you eye rolling over there. What mm-hmm. is your thoughts on the idea of Historic in general?
I really don't care. But if it kills Frontier, then good.
If it kills Frontier, good. I don't know. I think we need a format that's not as big and wide open as Modern, so people can get in and have a little bit more ease of cost to get a competitive deck. I don't care what it is. Like, competitive Standard tends to be very expensive. Competitive Modern is very, very expensive. But there could be a competitive Heroic deck that may be an area that's not as expensive. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that it's a need in the marketplace, and this is a way that maybe they could fix it.
Maybe. I don't know. Me and the playgroup that I have here, we talk about it every now and then, but I kind of feel like modern and legacy are going to join into one. So they're not going to have vintage, legacy, modern, standard. It's going to be like vintage, and then some new format for legacy and modern put together, and then historic for the extended format, and then standard.
So you mean like for formats that they're going to promote as Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting take on it, I guess.
We have no evidence. We're just paranoid.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I feel like they know that they can keep printing Legacy X like cards for mm-hmm. Modern. Like, the Modern Horizons has done pretty well. And I think a lot of the cards in there has shaken up or given opportunities for Modern to, like, expand in ways that they weren't expecting it to. Not just Hodek coming in, wrecking for the summer, and then getting banned once they've sold most of the product.
Right.
But I think a lot of the other cards are going to be really good.
They can't say that they sold most of the product because they said it wasn't going to be a limited run.
Right, but it was an as-needed run, so they printed what they kind of, you know, they filled all their orders, and then they did a second printing. As far as I know, they haven't done a third printing. Like, there hasn't been so much demand that they've needed to do a third printing.
Yeah.
So, it might just be a matter of, you know, maybe they did do a third printing, but as far as I know, they haven't. But it doesn't seem like the demand is there that they need more. Like, we still have it on at the stock. We still have it in stock at the shop.
Yeah.
I still am perfectly happy to whip out and draft Modern Horizons.
Yeah. And, like, there's a Hogak deck in Legacy right now that's also winning turn two.
I just don't feel like it's a card that they need to continue to, like, push or whatever, you know? Like, it came in, it did its job, it sold a lot of boxes. Now we banned it. We also had some casualties taken out.
Yeah.
I think that they'll make some corrections and some things will come back in after a couple of, like, within a year or so. I think Faithless Looting will be back. I think Bridge from Below will probably come back. Like, I think once they overcorrected, and then they, you know, then they'll put things back in, I think. Personally, I like the idea of just no banned cards in Modern. It's why all the
it's
way.
It's really fun.
I don't know. Again, Modern's not my favorite format, but I can see why people like it. And to be really fair, Urza has brought me into Modern again. I'm excited for Modern for the first time in ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a card that it's right up my alley. It speaks to me in a lot of ways and is a lot of fun. So I can understand, you know, other people out there enjoying the format and whatnot. So yeah, I think that they're going to continue to push Modern. I think Historic is going to become that next format that they'll do for, like, their online events and stuff. I'm going to personally add every place that we had Frontier, I will probably slash replace with her Historic and see how that helps with people or whatnot. That may or may not continue to exist, I'm not sure, but for local tournaments. I feel like I finally started getting some momentum for people on Frontier, so the idea of shifting it's not real fun, but we'll give it a go, see what happens. And again, I don't think it's going to be ready to go this year necessarily. But I think in 2 years, Historic is going to be big enough that people will be excited to play it. So, I don't know. It'll be a lot of fun still to have a bigger format like that. I don't know, one of the things that I kind of wanted to also do is I wanted to shift the format of the show up a little bit, because one of the things, if we just sit here and talk about magic every single week, Travis and I are likely, or not even necessarily every week, but every 2 weeks or month or however it works out, I think we're going to end up burning ourselves out again. Even people like us who like to brew and invent and do stuff all the time can't come up with a new deck every, like, all the time. And our lives come in and they change things a lot, and we get busy and it's like, well, did you brew anything this week? I didn't brew anything. Did you? Blah, blah, blah. So I'd like to take somewhere in the show and just talk about whatever's going on. And I don't know, maybe give other people an opportunity to just share what's going on with them as well. And kind of see what's going on. So, is there anything in particular that you would like to talk about and how it's affecting your gaming life in general, or gaming in general, or whatever?
I don't know, there's the only thing that's really affecting my gaming life is people being out of town due to military. Because we have three people who play Legacy regularly who are in the military. Other than that, my work schedule is the only thing that stops me from playing.
Okay.
Which is why I wanted to start recording for YouTube, and like, because I figured, I'm playing right now, but that doesn't really do anything.
Right. Well, I know. So, from my point of view, one of the things that you and I have been talking about for a long time, and kind of affected my magic in a long way, is selling off my collection and getting the bus and transitioning to my nomadic lifestyle now that Remington's off to college. And I know for a long time it kind of felt like a pipe dream or whatever. And so this summer I had an opportunity. I recently unloaded a bunch of cards. The arena got about $3,000, $3,500, somewhere in that ballpark of my dual lands. Those should be coming up for sale here pretty soon. A guy who travels around and buys and sells cards, we've dealt with him a couple of times at the arena. He bought most of my Ravnica binder, that era of Ravnica, for about 2 grand. So I still have the shelf. I don't know how much of you guys can see the shelf. And I still have a bunch of other stuff to go through and get sold off. And that's affecting me and my desire to play Magic a lot, actually, is going through and selling off cards. I didn't think about how much I'd be attached to the memories of playing certain things, or like, oh man, I remember this, or whatever. But then, like, randomly last night, I found out Swords of Fire and Ices are like $100 bills. So now I'm like, all right, well, it's time to go find some Swords of Fire and Ices. Because I probably have 15 of them, because I played so much of Darksteel and Mirrodin and stuff. So, like, on one hand, I'm excited to get the bus going. On the other hand, it's like, man, I'm really wanting to drag my feet so I get to keep my magic cards.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you on that, though.
Well, I'm not looking for a solution. I'm just, again, that's something that's kind of going on and has been going on for the last few months.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I've not been so, like, you and I have hit each other a couple of times about maybe doing a show here and there. But one of the things that just keep holding me back is that, well, I just sold a bunch of cards and I don't really want to talk about it. Because for me, the way my memory is right now, I need a trigger to kind of remember stuff. And, like, oh, I remember sitting down and, talking about Sword of Fire and Ice. I remember going to the PP or the pre-release with Kirk, for sure. I think you were there. A couple
In
other people.
Wichita.
Yeah, we went to Wichita. And Remember, I had Skull Clamp. Kirk opened Sword of Fire and Ice. And I was like, holy crap, this Skull Clamp is like insanely good. And Kirk's like, Skull Clamp, that card seems terrible. This Sword of Fire and Ice is the nut. And like, yeah, it was good, but you know, it was just, those are memories that as I start selling cards off, I'm like, oh man, the good stuff. And I don't know, I just need to kind of keep that in mind in the future, that we're making memories. I'm giving up today's memory or yesterday's memories for tomorrow, but that does, it is a factor when it comes to like, how much time do I want to talk about Magic, or do I want to play it? You know, like, I have not played hardly any on Arena in the last 2 weeks. I've probably spent more time on Arena in the last 2 weeks actually helping you get set up to record, which took us like maybe half an hour, yeah, than I have, you know, previously. So I know that the new Brawl decks or whatever are out on Arena. Have you been playing those?
Nope.
Yeah, me either. I haven't played anything. So other than drafting, it seems like every week I've not done anything. And I can almost 100% point to the fact that it's because I'm selling off my collection. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to keep. That's the hardest part. Like, oh man, I really want this card because it's good and it's a card I enjoy playing, but it's also $120. That's, you know, that can go towards paying for the air conditioner, or you know, we just spent $3,000 on a new bed. You know, like, that's a lot of money, but at the same time you're like, well, that's what I need to be completely comfortable on the road. So, and we'll make new memories by going to different places and doing draft and meeting people, and I don't know, it gets weird. Anyway, I think that's about the time we have in the show. Travis, do you have anything you want to add in particular real fast?
No, not really. I think you covered most of it.
Yeah, kind of a short one. Like I said, we kind of just threw this together at the last minute that we wanted, you know, we literally talked, I think, on Tuesday. And I'm like, let's try to get together this weekend and record a show. So I don't think either one of us really thought we would get time to do it. But we're gonna start spending a little bit more time getting notes together and stuff like that through the week. I'm hoping that having the show again will help motivate me, because I always enjoy doing the show. I don't like putting the show out because it involves editing, but I like recording the show. And hopefully it'll motivate me. Send your emails back in. I basically cleared the email folder. I've basically had, I don't know, maybe 24 people emailing pretty consistently, when are you going to record again, when are you going to record again, when are you going to record again? And the answer is now. And I've deleted everyone's emails. So, send us new emails about new things, new deck lists. I know Talab will probably send us a new commander list pretty soon. I'm sure Beef will send us some stuff also pretty soon to talk about. So yeah, send us an email. 2TrollsBrew, the number 2TrollsBrew at gmail.com. You can, of course, check out the podcast and the show notes and stuff over at samusgurobo.com, SIMIUSGUROBO. There's also a link there for like the iTunes, so you can get it directly. Of course, I'm still up at twitch.tv/samusgurobo, and the Twitter, YouTube, all that stuff still the same. And Travis will be coming real soon to YouTube, and as soon as I get those, we'll start linking those and promoting that channel as well. Mm-hmm. And I think if we do any collaborative work, it'll probably end up, like, other than the podcast, it'll probably end up there.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thinking. Because my channels have basically been more to everything but DDO lately, or but Magic lately. So if we can get Travis's channel to be Magic, the 2Trolls Magic channel, then so be it. Not necessarily only that, but where we put it, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Still no social media presence for you. I find it ironic, for those of you who don't know Travis very well, we talked about getting rid of social media, or at least lessening it, Then he makes this big post about how he's going to start unfollowing and not paying attention to political stuff. Then, like, 2 days later, a political thing come up, and there's, like, a giant wall of Travis replies for political stuff. Found it to be pretty funny. The school lunches.
Oh, well, I was mainly unfollowing, like, people who were, like, bashing politicians or posting things that were bashing politicians. The school lunch thing, nobody's, like...
No one is taking it the wrong way, so...
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, I just found it funny as, like, you know, you'll notice I didn't respond to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a try not to get in arguments on social media kick right now, trying to avoid that extra drama in my life. But I do read the things, especially when my friends are really involved. And I just noticed, like, I don't know, it seemed like 6 or 7 replies from Travis on this particular thread. I'm just like, well, that was a good point. I'll like it. And then this guy had a good point. Well, I like it too. Then I'm like, but I'm not saying nothing. I don't need drama. We just moved on. So, pretty great. Alright, everybody, with that, I don't know, brew something and let us know.
Troll on, everybody.
Troll on, everybody.